Production of Pipe Dreams is made possible in part by funding provided by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Foundation, and by the support of listeners to stations in the Public Radio International Network.
From Minnesota Public Radio.
Rhythm and melody are the twin prime ingredients of music, and we did well enough with them alone for centuries. But since one good tune does deserve another, the idea of counterpoint evolved, where several musical voices with distinct personalities converse together in harmony on a common topic. There are many ways to play the contrapuntal game, but the most probing in its organization of melodies and harmonies is called fugue. And the best fugues are something like a ritual meeting of the arts of music and mathematics, a logical quest with an audible end. With rhetorical speech these days, fugue is not held in the highest esteem. Some impatient souls even consider fugues to be old-fashioned, academic, and dull. But this jazzy little item here, the sort of piece which really stimulates the brain and nourishes the spirit, is, yes, you guessed right, a fugue by the master of all fugues, Johann Sebastian Bach. It's a wonderful little work, and as here done by the Swingle Singers, is all dressed up with somewhere to go. Yeah, like groovy, man. But what does all this mean? In French, the phrase to make a fugue translates as to go on a trip or to effect a getaway. And maybe that ties in with another rather unkind definition of fugue, as a musical format where the composition's voices enter one by one while the audience exits in similar fashion. I'd rather think of a fugue not as something one escapes from, but something one escapes into while tracing its melodies, discovering its counter-subjects, becoming totally absorbed and fascinated by the imagination, the intricacy, and the athleticism of the music's marvelous maneuvers. In the centuries-old history of fugal writing, one work towers above all others, a kind of thesis on the finer points of the contrapuntal art, brilliantly intellectual but also supremely virtuosic in its manipulation of themes and its demands on performers and on listeners. Its composer, of course, was Johann Sebastian Bach, for whom it was a kind of summing up of a life's probing thought. The title and topic of this illustrious volume is The Art of Fugue. But having fun with that fanciful French definition of fugue, and considering the way I'm absorbed by this piece, as I hope you will be too, I'm calling our program today The Art of Escape. Let's take the trip together. Follow it on our websites. Today, Part 1, Bach's Art of Fugue. I'm Michael Barone, and you're tuned to Pipe Dreams. Today's Art of Fugue broadcast, click to our website. We're at pipedreams.org. This is program number 2029. Rather mysteriously, Bach did not specify any instrumentation for the Art of Fugue. and for some years it was thought that he intended this remarkable and rarefied score only for study by connoisseurs, not for actual performance. I mean, they used to wonder who really would want to sit through a 75-minute suite of fugues. Well, apparently many do. And you now can find recordings of this piece played on harpsichord, piano, and organ keyboards, also by brass and mixed instrumental ensembles, by chamber orchestra, and by string, recorder, and even saxophone quartets. This music's genius shines through almost any imaginable treatment. Each movement tells us something different about the way a fugal theme can be evolved, multiplied, and interwoven. All of what you will hear in this broadcast was grown from the germ of a single, very simple motive. It's a rather plain and somber tune, don't you think? 12 notes from beginning to end. But from those 12 notes, a musical universe will be erected. This might not be as catchy a theme as you will find in some other of Bach's famous fugues, but just as the seemingly shy kid with the glasses in the corner proves to be astonishingly resourceful in an emergency, this benign subject is the building block for the entire complex of the art of fugue. In the course of the piece, Bach presents this theme right side up and upside down, that's rectus and inversus. He presents it slowly in augmentation and quickly in diminution. He alters its melodic shape to suit different harmonic contexts. He changes and interrupts its rhythm, and in some instances, so transforms its character as to make it beyond recognition, kind of like a familiar person showing up in a great disguise, totally undiscernible. Later, Bach will combine those varied elements on top of each other, too, creating incredible textures. In all, there are about 100 different transmutations of the opening theme in the Art of Fugue, all made possible because the modest arrangement of those 12 notes includes several essential and maneuverable elements. Here's the theme. And within those 12 notes, we find these useful subsets, a D minor triad laid out in steps, the linear motion of a scale, and a hint at rhythmic energy. In a way, Bach is no different from any other composer of fugues. He creates a theme and works it out according to the rules of the game. But Bach's themes tend to offer more options than those from other composers, and Bach's imagination sees more avenues for development, for escape, if you will. More so than any others, Bach fugues satisfy the highest aesthetic standard. We are convinced by what he does and impressed by the agility and intelligence with which he does it. Bach is the consummate performer on this contrapuntal stage, accomplishing the unbelievable before our very eyes and ears. The Art of Fugue begins with a straightforward, simple fugue, setting the main theme, which appears in four voices, offering four strands of counterpoint which call and respond to each other. Barbara Harbach plays it for us on the 1983 Fisk organ at Downtown Presbyterian Church in Rochester, New York, this recording on the Gasparo label. Let the journey commence. And so it has begun. Contrapunctus number 1 from Bach's Art of Fugue. Thank you, Barbara Harbach, for playing there. Glenn Gould offers the second simple fugue from the Art of Fugue. It's a different working out of that same main theme, here varied just a bit at the end, so that instead of going in equal eighth notes, da-da-da-dum, it gets a little bump, da-dum-da-dum. Things are getting interesting, aren't they? And they usually do whenever Glenn Gould applies himself to the music of Bach. That's from a Sony Classical compact disc recorded at All Saints Anglican Church in Toronto at Cassavant Organ. Bach himself, though, makes things interesting in the Art of Fugue, and the third simple fugue from this collection takes the main theme now and inverts it, turns it upside down, so that instead of the usual beginning to the music, we have it this way.
Thank you.
Håkan Wickman performed on the 1658 Hagebert organ at the Nieuwe Kerk in Haarlem in the Netherlands. That instrument nearly a century older than the music that it was playing, and that music was published in 1751. Contrapuntus number 3 from The Art of Fugue by J.S. Bach. And that particular piece presented the main theme upside down, inverted, as does the fourth contrapuntus, offering the inverted theme again, but instead of beginning on the tonic D, it starts 5 notes higher on A, with inevitable harmonic implications. Fourth contrapuntus from Bach's Art of Fugue, played by Thierry Mechler on the 1993 Mühleisen organ at the Church of St. Nicholas in Waalbeck in Germany. And so, we have begun with four simple fugues, stating the Art of Fugue theme both upright and inverted. But now we travel into deeper water. And you know how, when in the swimming pool, If it's crowded, you end up kicking someone else when you're trying to do your laps. Well, that's sort of the concept behind this next group of three fugues, which are called stretto fugues, since each subsequent statement of the theme begins before the prior thematic statement has quite finished, steps on its toes, as it were. For example, listen how the initial statement of the inverted version of the theme is not quite finished before the entry of the upright version of the theme in the left hand. Because the answering theme is an inversion of the first statement of the theme, this sort of piece is also called a counterfugue. And the close layering of thematic entrances, the stretto, continues throughout this fifth contrapuntus from the Art of Fugue, making for a very intense and exciting texture. Que Quito plays on the Holy Cross church organ in Bordeaux in France. Pay attention at the very end and hear how Bach superimposes both the upright and the inverted themes directly over each other in a mirror image, which Miss Quito registers on a pungent reed stop. Our adventure with the Art of Fugue continues. Recording made at Holy Cross Church in Bordeaux, France, issued on the Temperaments compact disc label, Que Quito has played the fifth contrapuntus from Bach's Art of Fugue. Bach enjoyed French music. I don't think he ever heard any authentic French organs. He incorporated quite a number of French stylistic elements in many of his compositions, and the sixth contrapuntus from the Art of Fugue is listed as in French style. Now, it's another stretto fugue and presents the theme in four versions, alternately upright and inverted, and then upright and inverted, but in half time, in diminution, twice as fast. Bach lists this as being in the French manner because the filler material is made lively by expanding on the irregular rhythms which are part of that initial variant of the main theme, da-dum, da-dum, remember that, using what the French call notes inégales, unequal notes. And, well, we have a French-Canadian to play the piece for us, though on a German-built organ. We listen to Bernard Lagasse, recorded on the trend-setting 1961 Baccarat instruments at Immaculate Conception Church in Montreal. Contrapuntus number 6 in the French manner from Bach's Art of Fugue, played with the traditional French Baroque registration for fugues on the trumpet stops. Bernard Lagasse was our soloist at Immaculate Conception Church in Montreal, the release on an Analecta compact disc. Oh, what a delicious diversion this all is, like listening to the creation of the universe. You can watch the progress of the Art of Fugue, too, on our website at pipedreams.org. This is program 2029. We've got all sorts of additional information to make your comprehension of this marvelous masterpiece more meaningful. I'm Michael Barone. We're celebrating Bach's ability to conjure and delight with the Art of Fugue, the Art of Escape, on this edition of Pipe Dreams. Almost makes me dizzy. Contrapuntus number 7 from The Art of Fugue, a work as economical as it is intense, since virtually every note there was directly derived from some aspect of the initial Art of Fugue theme, which again was stated both upright and inverted, diminished and augmented. You really do begin to need a map to follow what's going on at every measure, or a score, or very good ears. Remember, a visual component of this program is on our website. You can follow along at pipedreams.org. In that piece, Wolfgang Ribsam played the Metzler organ at St. Nicholas Church in Frauenfeld in Switzerland. It's from a set of Philips compact discs, which is both miraculous and, unfortunately, rather difficult to find. Up to this point in The Art of Fugue, Bach has limited himself to fugues based on the main subject or its variants, simple fugues first, and then the more intense strato fugues. But in the next group of four fugues, Bach will introduce a variety of new themes, which will be blended with the main theme or its variants. This is like patting your head, rubbing your tummy, and balancing a knife on your nose simultaneously. In Contrapuntus number 8, a brand new theme gets us started. Then, after that new theme has been worked out as a simple fugue, an additional new theme is combined with it in a second fugue. And finally, in a third exposition, those two themes appear again together, but now in the company of this variant of the main subject. Going to have to excuse my insolence at this point for having teased you with those themes. We're not going to hear the fugue in which Bach uses those, but rather move on to Contrapuntus number 9, which is one of my favorites, and it's the one that the Swingle Singers so successfully jazzed up at the beginning of the program. It's based on this rocket-like motive. In a kind of silver threads amidst the gold process, Bach weaves a four-voiced exposition of that new theme with the original Art of Fugue subject, also in four voices. Here's Glenn Gould to play it for us. This is my favorite performance of Contrapuntus number 9. Thank you. talk about fugal voices, the various lines of counterpoint interacting with each other. Usually when Glenn Gould plays Bach, or any composer for that matter, you can hear his voice singing along. But in that recording, the sound of the Cassavant organ at All Saints Anglican Church in Toronto must have drowned Glenn out. Bach and Bach alone. With Glenn Gould, of course, at the keyboards. Those two definitely were soulmates. I can imagine the conversations that they're having now in heaven. Here's another double fugue from The Art of Fugue, in which the new opening theme borrows its rhythmic shape from the third theme of Contrapuntus No. 8. This is really drawing on your memory bank, which is used both upright and inverted, and then combined with a variant of the main subject, all of it worked out in double counterpoint at the interval of the tenth, sort of like doing tricks simultaneously on the balance beam and on the high wire. Yaroslav Tuma plays an organ in the Czech Republic.
Thank you.
we've reached milepost 10, with four to go before we're home. Yaroslav Tuma led us on that leg of our Fugal Odyssey, playing Contrapuntus number 10 from Bach's Art of Fugue, the piece A Double Fugue, about which you might know more if you were looking at our website for this program at pipedreams.org. Check out the embellished information there. I'm Michael Barone. This broadcast is 2029. In our ongoing series, we are celebrating Bach's Houdini-like magic in tying himself into incredible contrapuntal knots, but in the end, setting him and us free. Sort of ear candy, isn't it? The art of fugue, the art of escape, on this edition of Pipe Dreams. And now, a fugue on three subjects times two, each subject used both upright and inverted. The first subject, a variant of the main theme, the other two variants of themes from Contrapuntus number 8, with the added element of an ascending and descending chromatic scale figure which creates some really bold harmonies throughout. Wolfgang Rubsam plays the Flintrop organ at Duke University Chapel in Durham, North Carolina. This old-fashioned music sounds modern.
Thank you.
wild and woolly, with a chromatic boldness and a sustained harmonic intensity unmatched in any other piece by Bach, I dare say. Just astounding. If Bach had wanted to stop right there with the Art of Fugue, we would not have been disappointed. But the Art of Fugue continues, now with two pair of mirror fugues. The concept is simple enough. Write two pieces, the second of which is an exact mirror image of the melodic contour of each line of the first. Well, the concept might be easy to comprehend, but its execution, as something other than a dry exercise, is almost incomprehensible. Lynn Ziegler performs on the Brumbaugh organ at Iowa State University in Ames. Such jaunty and charming sounds. Who would imagine that we were listening to an almost unbelievable bit of compositional sleight of hand? This was a pair of mirror fugues from Bach's Art of Fugue, and the voices of that particular piece were exact mirror images of the voices, the melodic lines, in the piece which was played immediately preceding. And through both of those pieces, the laws of fugal counterpoint and development were scrupulously observed. Lynn Ziegler played for us at Iowa State University. Here's another pair of mirror fugues. The announced theme will be immediately answered by its own inversion, and then the upright and inverted forms will alternate throughout the piece, kind of like shaking hands with an upside-down image of yourself without losing decorum. Then in the mirror twin, all of that happens again, but in exact mirror image. Where is reality? This is a piece where peeking at our website might be worthwhile. We're at pipedreams.org. This is program 2029. Far out music, truly. Listen, André Issoire plays this second pair of mirror fugues from the Art of Fugue. We hear the Grenzing organ at St. Cyprian's Church in Perigord, a new release from Calliope Records. first glance, it seems as delightful and as innocent as a child's game. But on closer inspection, we realize that that music, well, it's sort of like a kid playing three-dimensional chess. The second pair of mirror fugues from Bach's canny and commanding Art of Fugue, André Issoire performed. In the main body of this remarkable composition, Bach's Art of Fugue, he left us 14 contrapunti. Why 14? Well, if you add up the numerical equivalents of the name Bach, B equals 2, A equals 1, C equals 3, and H equals 8, the total is 14. Bach was very much into the numerological significance of things, and as the supreme master of fugal counterpoint, he probably enjoyed making this sort of little insider's signature in the context of his grand compositional statements. We have listened to the four simple fugues, the three stretto fugues, fugues on two and three different theme groups, pairs of mirror fugues, and now, in the last movement, Bach intended a quadruple fugue with four thematic expositions and developments, each subsequent section incorporating themes previously introduced. So, the great mystery lies in that this piece was left undone in rough drafts. We'll never know for certain whether Bach just ran out of steam, since his health and eyesight were failing in those last months, whether in the mess of manuscripts left after his death in 1750, the pages of the completion of this piece were somehow lost or destroyed, or whether Bach intended the entire preceding body of all of the Art of Fugue as a setup to this 14th contrapunctus, which he intended to be unfinished on purpose, leaving the conclusion in our hands, or at least to our imagination. Well, the theme of the first section of this quadruple fugue is a concentrated version of the main theme. You'll hear it played both upright and inverted. Then the second section introduces a new, rather active theme. And the third section commences with the introduction of a motive based on the name of Bach, the first four notes being equivalent to the musical letters B-flat, A, C, and B-natural equals H. And this also will appear upside down. There is no fourth subject stated. That was intended in the part of the piece which was not composed. The work drifts off into incompletion and silence, at a point where we imagine that Bach intended the reintroduction of the principal Art of Fugue theme. But for today, we will hear it as Bach left it. Honoring tradition, we present only the notes that he wrote that we have found. And performing them, one of the great Bach organists of the 20th century, whose recordings of the Art of Fugue have influenced several generations. His teaching, too. A profound inspiration for hundreds of players and hundreds of thousands of listeners. On the Schnitger organ at the Church of St. Lawrence in Alkmaar in the Netherlands, listen as Helmut Walscha performs this final movement from Bach's Art of Fugue. Left unsatisfied, an incomplete manuscript page, followed by the message, "It was while writing this fugue, in which the name Bach appears as a counter subject, that the composer died." Helmut Walscher, playing at the Lawrenzkerk in Alkmaar in the Netherlands, has built Bach's mighty contrapuntal castle and left this last wall open, since from Bach we have nothing more. The notes have trailed off into silence. Bach has escaped into another dimension. And while in our minds Bach's music never ends, our time here has, though I do invite you to tune in next week to hear the work of three bold men who accepted the Bach challenge, picked up the pen where Bach set his down. men who have created their own remarkable and very different conclusions to this unfinished 14th fugue. The art of escape becomes the art of discovery next week. All this to honor Bach's memory in this 250th anniversary year and month, and I hope you'll be able to tune in next week. Do check our website for further background and insights concerning the art of fugue. We have a detailed playlist also of the artists who were involved in today's broadcast. Find us on the web at pipedreams.org. Look under Program 2029. We do list the sources for the recordings that have been played here, and you can even listen to this program again, as you will. That's pipedreams.org. But if you're not a web browser, do write to us for a sample of our quarterly brochure, which has some basic information which can be useful to you. Your comments are welcome in either case. If you contact us, do tell us to which station you are listening. If you're mailing us, our address is Pipe Dreams, 45 East 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Do please send a stamped, self-addressed envelope for the return mail. And join us again next week for another celebration of the art of the organ and more of Bach's music, which transcends time and attitude, which leads us to a new realm of experience and teaches us, too, about the art of escape. Our broadcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhad Fund of the HRK Foundation, and by listener supporters of this station and Public Radio International affiliate stations nationwide. Bach, he's in the air. Breathe him in. I'm Michael Barone for Pipe Dreams. Thank you for listening. Pipe Dreams is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.